Well, just as you've described that there are four different definitions for spirituality, it might be helpful to introduce a couple of different definitions for quote-unquote feminine energy. Because I think often when people use that phrase, we need more feminine energy, what they're really saying is we need more people at a world-centric level of caring. That's really what they're saying.
Exactly. And there is a masculine form of that as well, and that's universal rights. And so there's rights means agency. That means you protect the individual. And responsibility or duty means that the individual still has responsibilities to those around them. So the classic distinction is masculine is rights. It's justice, it's autonomy, it's independence. Men want freedom. But the female side is, but you must be responsible for those around you. You must care for those around you as well. You can't just have your own rights. You can't go off in the corner and have your own rights. That just doesn't work very well. Even though you want to extend rights to everybody around the world. Because then all you have is everybody has equal rights, but nobody's touching each other. We're all just islands unto ourselves. And that's sort of the classic masculine sort of approach. But the feminine approach is there's a responsibility, a care, and a relationship that goes with all of that. And so what we really want is world-centric care along with world-centric rights. And there happens to be kind of a pathology of masculine and a pathology of feminine, and it's almost easier to understand masculine and feminine by seeing what their sort of sick versions look like. Representing sick boy will be me, and I will give an example of that. The healthy agency, healthy independence, healthy autonomy is obviously a good thing, and that's the healthy masculine form. The pathological form of that is rigid dissociation, absolute alienation. It's not just that you're an autonomous person, but you're split off, alienated, repressed from your bodies, your feelings, nature around you, and so on. That's pathological agency, pathological masculinity. And when most critics criticize the masculine principle, they're really criticizing pathological masculinity. And it's just too much agency, so much that you're completely alienated and isolated from those around you. And that can happen at any of those stages. Any stage can go wrong. So you can have pathological versions of masculinity at stage one, stage two, and stage three. Now, the feminine pathology is, since healthy feminine is connecting, relating, touching, the pathological version is a complete fusion with those around you. So there's a loss of autonomy entirely. The woman is nothing but her relationships. She can't speak for herself. She has no mind of her own. She's simply part of a herd mentality. She can't stand up. She won't assert herself. She's radically passive in the midst of everything and basically is having this very pathological relational mode where she's nothing but relationship. And so what the woman has to learn to do in those circumstances is speak her own mind, stand up for herself, develop some autonomy. Just as what the man has to learn to do is the opposite. He has to stop standing up so much and be part of other things, join other things, touch, reconnect. So pathological feminine is just the herd mentality. It's just this complete slave to your relations. And we all know that that's generally tends to be part of the problem when women get into pathological relationships is no matter how pathological they are, they can't get out of them because they're so attached to the relationship. It's hard for them to do that. And they need a sort of balancing. They need to sort of find their inner masculine, if you will. They're just healthy feminine. It's one thing to be in caring relationship. It's another thing to be fused, lost in it, merged in it. It's a meltdown. It's not a relationship. And, in the Tibetan tradition, you have to do preliminaries, and you have to do, 500,000 prostrations. That's good for men should do 500,000 prostrations, and women should do 500,000 stand-ups. They should stand up and assert their autonomy. That would be going against their grain, so to speak. And men should have to do prostrations and sort of lowering their own mast. But you can have that pathological fusion at stage one, stage two, and stage three in female development as well, using just a simple three-stage Gilligan model.
I missed you there. How would you have pathological development in stage three?
Well, the Darth Vader move is always possible. No matter how sort of highly developed you are, things tend to go wrong. What happens at post-conventional world-centric is all you're doing is think of a building with three floors on it. The fact that it's on the third floor doesn't mean that something can't go wrong, that you can't cut yourself, fall over, get bruised, or whatnot. Any stage of development has something that can go wrong. At world-centric stages, you are, for the first time, developing a third-person perspective. another way to look at these three stages is first stage has first-person perspective, or only me. Second stage develops second-person we. It's ethnocentric, conformist. And then third stage is third-person, so you can see, take all different roles. But you can still get alienated within that. You can still see all these three perspectives and alienate all of them. I mean, you can even sort of, you know, again, you can be sicker in higher ways. And the same thing happens with a female. By the time she gets to stage three, she has a conception of world relationship, relating with all human beings. And she can get lost in that just as easily as she can get lost in the earlier levels. So she merges with that, loses her own autonomy in this higher cause. And it's a real mess when you get pathological masculine, pathological feminine, because they join together in ways that get really spooky, actually. And again, I hate to keep picking on the Nazis, but why not? That's a classic ethnocentric stage two level of development. The Nazis loved their families. They loved their country. It was authentic love, genuine. But everybody else is an infidel, and you can burn them, gas them, shoot them, whatever you want to do. And the men are the sort of pathological agency, and the women are pathological herd mentality. They're just in fusion with this. They're just going along with it and actually offering their sons and daughters up to the cause of this greater glory. And that happens a lot. You realize that it's very, very common that you get these things kind of running together. And obviously what you want at any stage is as healthy a masculine and feminine as you can get, even though at that stage it's still going to be ethnocentric. But it's not ethnocentric that gasses people as a genocidal, you know, program. There are lesser and worser forms of ethnocentric in that sense. So, but even at the higher levels, and almost right into the, there are things that can go wrong at just almost any level of development. And so far my track record's perfect. I've screwed at least six levels up wonderfully. And I have no intention of stopping it.
But once we get to the integral level, we're not as fearful about it.
That's actually what happens. People say, well, yes, that's still happening, but it doesn't bother me as much.